Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Plotlines. I'm your host, Connor, and I am back from the Blessed Charles Symposium from Texas. It was a lot of fun. It was just a great pleasure to be at the symposium. A lot of great speakers and a lot of good fellowship that came along with that. And even, you know, the travel, I would say, was fruitful, bunch of days in the car, but you know, that was long and tiresome, but it was so very worth it by the time, you know, getting to the event. And we actually got the dinner the night before with Trevor from Trentine Brewing. And but there was a bunch of other people there. The People's Wav guy was there, and that was a lot of fun. So we had a lot of fun, and the speakers were incredibly excellent. This is the second time I've been to the Blessed Charles Symposium. Now, for anybody who doesn't know who Blessed Charles is, Blessed Charles was the last reigning emperor and king of Austria and Hungary, respectively, and he was removed after the First World War, after the United States entered the war, and part of sort of the revenge for the war, which was started by the assassination of the heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne, who was a Habsburg. So one of the punishments for the Habsburgs for being a part of a war that was started by the assassination of one of their family members was that they lost the throne. And how this was done was basically they threatened to starve the countries out until they gave up their kings and Blessed Carl gave up being the head of government, but did not give up his kingship, his reign. He did not abdicate, and that made him a threat. So he was, and after an attempt to take back the Hungarian throne without any real fighting, though threats of well, there was a little bit, but more against him than him starting it, was sent into exile to Madeira, where he died a terrible death in which he offered up his sufferings for his peoples, and he forgave his enemies and all those who betrayed him. Anyways, that's sort of the basic summary of who Blessed Charles or Blessed Carl is. I'm going to be back and forth between the names because Carl, K-A-R-L, is just the German spelling for Charles. So I will be going back and forth. Max in the chat. Hello, Mac. I wish you would have been there, but anyways, so the speakers were as follows were Charles Coulomb, the historian who has been on this channel many a time, Archduke Edward Habsburg, who's also the ambassador to the Holy See and the Knights of Malta from Hungary, and he's also been on this channel, which was a great pleasure and a great honor to interview him about his book, The Habsburg Way. Lord Abbot Philip Anderson, who has also been on this channel. I was greatly blessed to interview him a year and a half ago, actually when I was on my way to the original, or the first Blessed Charles Symposium that I went to. I don't know if it was the first overall. It may have been. I just want to thank David Ross for putting on the symposium. It was incredibly well done, and you know, his family puts a lot of effort into it, and that was very you know, it's very kind and generous. And he really doesn't have to do this, you know, it's not his family, but Blessed Carl is his story, and his case for canonization is very strong and worthy of spreading to many other people, you know, spreading the knowledge. Anyways, the princess, I think it's Anna Maria Galitzin, who is the granddaughter of Blessed Carl and Empress Sita, and Empress Sita is also a servant of God, so her story is kind of unbreakable from Blessed Charles, and sort of vice versa, because as a, you know, married couple, you know, they are basically one flesh, and so the stories are very linked. And then we had Suzanne Pearson, who's in charge of the American Prayer League for Blessed Charles, basically sort of the group that's moving towards or helping the canonization process move forward. And then Archduke Paul Habsburg, who I think this was like one of his first or second speaking engagements, and that was a lot of fun. So fun seeing him speak. He's about a little younger than me, so he spoke about the Blessed Charles's effect on on my generation, on the sort of Zoomer generation. So and just what it's like sort of having the legacy of Blessed Charles and being, you know, young Habsburg, and how he has, you know, sort of taken his devotion to Blessed Charles and how that has affected him. Now, Charles Coulomb's talk was basically about America's relationship with Blessed Charles, because Blessed Charles was basically the enemy of the United States during World War One, and the relationship, you know, you'd think would be fraught. You know, you'd think that there'd be some grudge between, you know, the Habsburg family and America, or even you know, Americans versus the emperor. But his canonization, or his cultus, has spread very wide amongst Americans. I believe there's 30 shrines to Blessed Charles in the United States, which is quite surprising. And, you know, when you fight a war against somebody, you don't normally go back and see them in a very good light. But Blessed Charles is able to break through that, and his story, as I've said, is so meaningful and so powerful, and his intercession is so powerful that sort of the lack of a father figure, a universal American father figure. Basically, we've adopted Blessed Charles as our father figure, the one we don't have, the one we haven't had, which is quite interesting. I mean, the Habsburgs have been back and forth, many times in the United States or North America in general, sometimes in Canada. So the Habsburgs have been back and forth. Empress Sita lived in Canada for a while. Otto von Habsburg who is Carl's son, spent much time in America trying to basically bring FDR on to support seeing Austria as a victim nation in World War II. Anyway, so that sort of Charles's talk was basically about that. Archduke Edward Habsburg talked about how to find a spouse that has this, has the virtues of Blessed Charles, you know, the sort of what makes a good spouse, which he is writing a book about. So I'm not going to talk too much about that, but, you know, maybe we'll have a video about that once, or an interview about that once the book comes out. And then Abbot Philip Anderson's talk often talked, or part of it talked about sort of the Benedictine connection between the Habsburgs and, you know, and the fact that he's a Benedictine, and how they connect, because Empress Zita spent much time in a Benedictine abbey as one, as a nun, during her later years. She was actually, well, her family asked her not to go into the abbey. She wanted to join the monastery, and the family went to the Pope and asked the Pope to keep her out of the abbey because they wanted her to, you know, sort of to do more public work and stuff like that. And the Pope basically compromised with Zita and the rest of the family, in which she could spend a certain amount of time in the monastery, and then the rest of the time she'd have to spend outside in the world. And I just find that quite amusing. And she took that well. She, you know, she respected the Pope's decision in that area, and that is exactly what happened. But she had a strong relationship with the Benedictines and their spirituality. And then the princess talked about her relationship with her grandma and Empress Zita taking care of them when her mother died and came to live with them. And, you know, just, I mean, sometimes you don't think of these people as, you know, regular humans, as people, as, you know, someone like you or I, but they definitely had that aspect to them. And you saw this in the stories that the princess told about her grandma. And one of the things that she said was that her father, Rudolf, who was Charles and Zita's one of their sons, said that said to the daughter that she's much nicer to you than she was with us. And, you know, that's kind of, that's the sort of perfect example of grandmotherhood versus motherhood, you know, sort of this this ability to be a lot more, I guess, nice when, as it comes off, because it's not your responsibility to lead these children as much. It's your, you know, you're sort of taking care of them to some degree, but it's not your job to give them discipline as the, like, that's the parent's job. So when you are a parent, you sometimes have to be harsh with your children. And, but when you, if you become, if you're lucky enough to become a grandparent, then you are basically able to spoil your grandchildren, because the parents are the ones teaching them the harder, morals and stuff like that. Anyways, I just thought that was a really wholesome conversation. Anyways, so it's just a lot of fun, and it was fun meeting people in person that had watched the podcast, and that was a great honor to meet those people. And just the wonderful things that were being sort of sold at the symposium, out, you know, sort of amongst sort of art and books and stuff like that related to Empress Zita or Blessed Charles, or sort of in the same vicinity, you know, whether it be like, you know, liturgical books or historical books about subjects related to them. All this was great. And then I can't remember what his name was, but there was a speaker about Carlism, and that was very interesting because Carlism is not something something known by a wide number of specifically Americans as well, specifically the political philosophy of traditional Spain. And that was one. There were two more political elements of the symposium. I mean, it's all sort of interconnected between the political and the spiritual. You know, all this is very connected, but the two most political elements was this Carlist guy, I think it's Ordóñez, something like that. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. And he's talking about sort of what are the basic blocks of Carlism. And, you know, it's God or, you know, faith, the Catholic faith. And then you have the fatherland, which is not sort of the land itself, but the families that make up a society, that make up a people. And then you have sort of what was the last thing? Anyways, that sort of the basics of Carlism, which I want to get into more. That's kind of one of the things that, you know, I'm inspired by the conference to look more into Carlism. And then the other part was there was a guy running for city council, and I think it's Luis Cornosa. My apologies if I pronounced that wrong. But anyways, he had so much energy. He was also around my age, and he is running for city council, and it seems like his seat, the seat, if he wins it, will change a lot for the city of Irving, Texas, and it will make the dominant political sort of theory or dominant political philosophy of the city be a Catholic one, and that's very exciting. Anyways, it seems like he's probably a genius. I think he graduated from college very, very early and stuff like that. So very impressed by him and just the community. And later on Sunday, I went to Mater Dei Parish in Irving, Texas, and the priest there who's giving the sermon talked about work, you know, improving yourself, improving your morals, reflecting on each day, reflecting on what you've done wrong, you know, doing an examination of conscience, and sort of and focusing on the fact that the body and the soul cannot be disconnected. Anyways, it just seemed very much to connect very with the Blessed Carl Symposium and everything that they were talking about. Anyways, it was just incredibly the community there too, amazing. The inside of the church, beautiful, though on the outside it's clear that it wasn't originally a church, right? That this was probably bought by the FSSP and then turned into something sustainable or something beautiful, And they have a lot of space and a lot of community. People are staying behind at Mass, after Mass, talking, spending time with each other, growing the community. Anyways, a lot of young families. It was beautiful to see. So it was just a pleasure. I wish that was my parish. You know, that's just one of those things. But it also is, you know, this type of experience is driving me to possibly do more, you know, to get out of my comfort zone more and, you know, basically put more effort into not just my podcast, but also writing and maybe doing something like a Blessed Charles Symposium around my area. So, you know, which would be really awesome. And I'm going to see if that's possible. And if it is, you know, I want to do it. So anyways, it was just quite inspiring. It gave you, gave me sort of that feeling that you get from sort of one of those like some, or a similar feeling to one of those sort of hippy dippy retreats that sometimes, but like that, when you go to those retreats, it's very forced and it doesn't stick with you. And it's very, it's gone very quickly. It's sort of a, really short consolation. And I think it's sort of a false consolation, but this symposium gave me a strong sense of consolation. And I just think it's going to drive me to bigger and better things. So it was a great pleasure being there. And if anybody gets to go in the future, I encourage you to do so. And who knows, maybe I'll be there next year and I'll be happy to meet you guys. So thank you all for watching. Please like, share, comment, and subscribe. It means a lot to the channel and it means a lot to me. And it helps me continue doing bigger and better things with my podcast and with this, with Plotlines. So thank you, everyone. God bless. Bye.